If you got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 2. I want to talk today about something that I believe people need to understand. Peter is in a dilemma here because Peter is Jewish. He has now accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And if you understand Judaism and the Jewish religion, it's dealt with sacrifices, things that you do in the physical so that you can get God's attention. But something has changed in his life, and it's very hard to work with change. And so he has to explain to the people, because now they've gone through all this for centuries, and not in a bad way that the old things were bad, by no means, but that a newness has come and a new way of thinking, because Jesus said, come boldly to the throne of grace with a petition and supplication. But in the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. Only the high priest could go in and have a rope tied around his arm, around his leg. And if he sinned, he died. They have to pull him out. That's the reason for the rope. But now you didn't need some of the things that the Jewish Christians were still doing. Not that it was wrong, but that it was a new order and a new way of thinking. So I want you to see this. This is what he's saying in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In other words, growth is very essential in Christianity. If so be ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now verse 5 is where I want to get to. You are as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up, and underline this in your Bible, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Ye also as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God by Jesus Christ. I want to talk this morning about spiritual sacrifices and what that means to us. In other words, so many people hear the word sacrifice and they kind of shrink back because they think, oh God, I'm going to have to go through something hard because of a sacrifice. But see, when you understand who God is and where Jesus has brought us, that we can touch him at any given time, that we can have a day of atonement all the time. And many of us need that constantly. We can have a day of grace all the time, that it's forever. And I love the Jewish people. People say, why do you love the Jewish people so much? Well, because you couldn't be a Christian without loving the Jew. It's called Judeo-Christian ethic. So I want to talk about being a living stone and a living sacrifice. A living stone is a living or spiritual sacrifice. So write this down. Here's this will give you some information. The Christian sacrifice is a spiritual one, while the Jewish sacrifice is a material one. Write that down. The Christian sacrifice is a spiritual one. We live out of our spirits, not of our actions. The Jewish sacrifice is a material one. In other words, they went before the Lord with a pigeon, a dove, a heifer, a lamb, whatever. See, it was all done in a material sense. But once Jesus came, he said that we should be living stones offering up spiritual sacrifices. My life is a spiritual sacrifice. It's done every day. Not a material sacrifice, but a spiritual sacrifice. So let me say it again. The Christian sacrifice, number one, is a spiritual one, while the Jewish sacrifice is a material one. Now, when you understand this, then you got to say, well, what's the difference in the value? The value of the material sacrifice lies in the thing given. That's whatever value. When it brought a pigeon, a dove, a lamb, a cow. But the value of the spiritual sacrifice consists in the will to give it. Everything is done by will now. According to Jesus, God said, not my will, but thine be done. That was a spiritual sacrifice. That was a living stone, Jesus saying, I'm changing the way we sacrifice. We always sacrifice through things, material things. And we can do that. Don't misunderstand me. But our sacrifices must be spiritual ones. So the value of the material sacrifice lies in the thing given, The value of the spiritual sacrifice consists in the will to give it. People say, why do you tithe? I will to tithe. Why do you give? I will to give. Why do you pray for the sick? I will to pray for the sick. In other words, I don't like sickness because it bothers people and it bothers me. So I'd rather live in health. See, now to live by faith is a spiritual sacrifice. It's not an easy thing. Because see, faith doesn't deal, it doesn't come out of the physical, but it produces the physical. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. But faith, the unseen, is what produces the seen that we have in our lives. Now, when you understand that, that's a spiritual sacrifice. People say, why do you work so much, brother? Why are you gone all the time? Well, it's a spiritual sacrifice. I am a living stone. And the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in me or the Jesus in you. So write this down. The value of the material sacrifice lies in the thing given. The value of the spiritual sacrifice consists in the will to give it. See, when the will is given, the battle is already over. See, once your will becomes God's will, you don't struggle spiritually, physically, or financially in anything that you do for the Lord. Because it's all done. That's a spiritual sacrifice. People said, no, I gave my tithe because that's material. No, but what happened was you had to have the will to give it. So when the will is given, the battle's already over. So you see, my will was to do the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't make no difference how tired I get. It doesn't make no difference how much I run or how late I get in at night and how early I got to get up in the morning to come back and do this and do that. Why? Because see, the will has already been given and the battle's already over. I know what I must do. Why? He said, you are a living stone. A lively stone. Now look at verse 5 again. You also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house. So every time I give my will as a sacrifice, my house gets bigger. My holy priesthood gets stronger. I offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You have to understand something about Jesse the Plan. If you really want to figure me out, I'm very simple. If you say, you know, I don't know if I should do this, I will always ask you, what did the Lord say? Well, I'm kind of feeling, and that's what you feel. What did the Lord say? Well, you know, normally this is the way we do it. No, it has nothing to do with that. What did the Lord say? My people know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Now, you know, in all my years of ministry, I've never had a financial deficit, and I've never had a scandal. Why? Because I'm a great man of faith? No, but I know the voice of the Lord. When I make a decision in this ministry, whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial, what I always ask myself, Jesse, whether I want to do something or not, what does the Lord say about that? Then it's not my will, but thy will be done, which is a spiritual sacrifice. Do you see that? Let me say it again. When the will is given, the battle is already over. What's the difference between the Jewish sacrifice and the Christian sacrifice? One is material, the other is spiritual. This is the problem that Peter's having trying to get over to now these new Christians, this new world order. Not getting rid of Judaism. That's wrong. No, because if you get rid of Judaism, then you got to get rid of Christianity. No, but what he's saying was there's a better way. You got to constantly be coming forward to do this every year. See, because the sins of people were not forgiven. But what happened was they were not washed away. They were covered to the next year. It's called the scapegoat. They put it on the goat and sent it out into the desert, waiting for Jesus to come and die and resurrect for us so we could do this once and for all. Are you seeing that? So when the will is given, the battle is already over. A material sacrifice demands constant repetition. A spiritual sacrifice, if it is from the heart, is offered once. Write that down. A material sacrifice demands constant repetition. This is Peter saying to the Jewish Christians. But a spiritual sacrifice, which you are now living stones, if it's from your heart, is offered once. Once I got saved, I don't need to get saved again. I can rededicate my life, but once I'm saved, I'm saved. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you don't crucify Jesus twice. Now, that doesn't mean you can't backslide. And then I'll get into a theological, doctrinal debate there. Because Jesus said, beware that your candlestick not be removed. Because even after you're saved, your will is still intact. Even though you say, not my will, but thine be done. But that your will never ever leaves, because that will is sacrificed. It's a spiritual sacrifice every day to build up a spiritual house who you are. So let me say it again. A material sacrifice demands constant repetition. A spiritual sacrifice, if it is from the heart, is offered once. And that's it. So when I got born again, that's all I needed to be done to be born again. But just because you say it doesn't mean you got enough to enjoy the trip. You got to have a little more than salvation. Salvation is sound. You got to have all these other things. All is the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reason why I believe in the gifts of the Spirit today, and some people don't, is because we need them. The reason why I believe in healing today is because there are a lot of sick people watching me on television. That's right. The reason why I believe in finances is because I need it. Because I live in an economic world. Do you understand that? And if you live in an economic world, to sustain yourself in an economic world, you need economy. Right? Because I notice this, they ain't giving it away. It's all for sale. It isn't for free. Is it? You can have beautiful malls, but you can just look at them or you can buy something from them. You see what I'm saying? So that material cycle, he was telling these new Christians, this here is repetition. You're going through the motions. He said, but a spiritual sacrifice, because you are a living stone, if it's from your heart, is only offered up but once. Why? Because you see the blood of Jesus, you can't get no better. Because the blood of Jesus doesn't cover your sin. The blood of Jesus washes your sin away. Somebody shout, somebody. Now, when that is washed away, then there's no evidence against you by the accuser to put you in jail somewhere. Because there is no evidence. None. Zero. Because you see, it's more than an atonement. It's the washing of the water of the word. Now write this down. A material sacrifice has its beginning in an act. A spiritual sacrifice has its beginning in a thought. Write that down. A material or a Judaism sacrifice has its beginning in an act. They would, like Abraham did, he offered up the lamb or the ram. But a spiritual sacrifice, if you are a living stone, has its beginning in a thought. In other words, it begins to work in the soulless realm, which is the pathway to the physical. Now go with me to Philippians chapter 2 real quickly. Back up a little bit of the scripture. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, that'll help you. Look what Jesus is saying here in Philippians chapter 2. And I believe you'd be blessed by it. Under Paul's writing here to the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 2, I believe it is. Let's start reading verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's a powerful verse right there. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Now we ought to be able to think like God think. Because he said, let this mind be in you, like it is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now there is the problem with a lot of people. They don't believe they can be what Jesus says they can be. But watch this. But made himself of no reputation. He's not trying to get everybody recognized, but took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now watch this. Let me say the point again. A material sacrifice has its beginning in an act. A spiritual sacrifice has its beginning in a thought. Why am I saying this? Because what God said, you are also living stones to offer up a spiritual sacrifice. Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. His spiritual sacrifice brought him in that area before he ever died. Do you see that? Before the act came, he already had conceived it and produced it in the thought process, or the mind, the will, the emotion, the soul of man. Let me say it again. A material sacrifice has its beginning in an act. A spiritual sacrifice has its beginning in a thought. Watch this. Write this down. He became the substitute of the world before he was manifested in the world. You see, you already repenting in your heart before you repent with your mouth. It's coming through the soulless realm. Some people call it conviction. See what I'm saying? You go, oh, all of a sudden then you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And that manifested thought becomes a manifested act. Are you seeing that? Let me say it again. He became the substitute of the world before he manifested in the world. He took the place of the sinner in thought before he took it in fact. What happened was, before any of us were ever created, God knew man would fail. Well, why didn't he stop it? Because your will should be his will. But you see, you've got to make that decision. That wasn't God's power to make your decision. Because you see, when he created the earth, he gave you authority over it. Do you know why God asked Abraham or talked to Abraham before he judged Sodom? God had power to judge Sodom and Gomorrah, but didn't have authority to. Why? Because man had been given ownership over the planet. Do you see that? So, in other words, man had to fail, so God couldn't stop the failure because God created a free will being. Now, if he makes that sacrifice, spiritual sacrifice, in his will, he can stop it. There's a lot of things that would stop if man would make the decision to stop it. But we're always waiting on God. Oh, no. Now you're back over to a material sacrifice instead of a spiritual sacrifice. Let me say it again. He became the substitute of the world before he was manifested in the world. He took the place of the sinner in thought before he took it in fact. He said, you know, Father, they're gonna sin, but I will be a lamb. So when was Jesus crucified? On the cross? No, that was the physical act. That would be the material thing. But he was crucified before he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He thought of me before I could even think of myself. He took my sin before I ever gave him my sin. But I had to have the right, I had to make the decision to give him my sin. In other words, he was ahead of me, and when I threw away my sin, God caught it and said, it's done. Oh, Lord Jesus. Are y'all enjoying this? This is what it means to be a living stone, offering up spiritual sacrifices. Now, I know I'm getting a little wordy on these things, but I want you to get this. Let me say it again. A material sacrifice has its beginning in an act. A spiritual sacrifice has its beginning in a thought. This is what Peter's telling the new Christians here. So Jesus didn't think it was robbery to be equal with God, even though yet he had not yet manifested, or he had not yet been crucified or glorified. Why? Because he was doing this in thought. He took the place of the sinner in thought before he took it in fact. See, the sacrifice of Christians has its roots in the sacrifice of Christ. That's why I'm so strong in some things that I do. Because my roots, my spiritual sacrifice, why don't you just quit, Mother Jessica? Well, sometimes you feel like it. Sometimes I say, I want to quit. I want to do this, but you see, why don't you quit? Well, it's not because I'm strong, because my sacrifice, my spiritual sacrifice that I do every day has its roots in Jesus' sacrifice. And if Jesus could do it before he manifested, then so can Jesse. That's calling those things with be not as though they were. That's why we and you that are watching by television will say, even though there's a sickness attached itself to our bodies, that's why we say, by his stripes, I am healed. I don't deny the sickness, I deny its right. I'm speaking healing in thought, and it will soon become a fact. Glory to God. Did you get that? That's a spiritual sacrifice. Now, you see, a lot of people get mad and say, you're lying. No, you're dealing with a material sacrifice. I'm dealing with a spiritual sacrifice. I'm telling my body, let me just say this. They asked Smith Wigglesworth, how do you feel? He said, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell him how he feels. Oh, glory to God. We see what he was doing. He was acting in thought first before he got a physical fact. Do you see that? All right, let me say it again. Lord, dear, I'm going to buy this tape myself. Lord. Let me say this again. A material sacrifice has a beginning in an act. You can look at your notes. A spiritual sacrifice has a beginning in a thought. And you go read Philippians 2, verse 6 there. He became the substitute of the world before he was manifested in the world. He was a lamb led to the slaughter. Before the foundation of the earth, he took the place of the sinner in thought before he took it in fact. He was actually smarter than the devil. The devil didn't know man was going to fall. Jesus already had it set up. He said, I know he's going to fall. Why'd you let him fall? Because he has power to stop it, not authority to stop it, because he gave you free will. That's a powerful statement right there. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's why Jesus said, why God said, how can I do this about Sodom and Gomorrah? That's why. God had the power to divide the Red Sea, but not the authority. What? Because Moses was in control of the situation. And in Exodus, he says, wherefore criest thou out to me? Stretch forth the rod, boy. The Egyptians are getting close, fool. Stick the stick out there and I'll divide that sea. He had the power, but not the authority until Moses stuck that stick out there. So God can't, he has the power to heal me, but I have the authority to make it happen. Go. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Are y'all getting that? You understand where I'm coming from here? That's a lively stone. Why are you so happy all the time? I'm a live stone. I ain't a dead rock. Religion is a dead rock. All it do is grind you into powder. How many times you had to pray the same prayer? Our Father art in heaven, let be thy name, the kingdom move on earth, as heaven, good days. Hail, hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women. That's not being critical of the Catholic Church. How about you Baptists? Oh, glories to God, oh, most heavenly glory to God. We don't know if you're here or not, but we're trying to give it the best shot. Oh, God. Not my will, but thine be done. Okay, well, just get your will in my will. Well, whatever you say, Lord. The Pentecost, please heal me, Jesus. Please heal me, Jesus. Please heal me, Jesus. He says, you're already healed. You're already healed. Please heal me, Jesus. Please heal. You're already healed. You're already healed. Please heal me, Jesus. God's got power to do all these things, but the authority lies within your ability to speak. Oh, Lord. The sacrifice of Christians has its roots in the sacrifice of Christ. That's why I do what I do. Write this down. It's a very simple statement. The Lord gave it to me this morning. In all your life, you can be nothing higher than the Christian. Oh, Lord. Oh, to become a Christian. Shuts down every power. No one can stop it. No devil in hell. Nothing can stop you from being a Christian. And the minute you become a Christian, all power and authority is given unto you. And nothing higher. Nothing higher than being a Christian. That's alive, a living stone. Oof, Lord. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Yeah. Well, you mean, should we be spiritual all the time? Yeah. That doesn't mean we can't have fun. In fact, you ain't had fun until you're spiritual. I mean, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, most people going to church today, they can't wait to get out. It ain't spiritual. What is it? It's a material act. Well, mama said to go. We don't want to go to hell, but we sure feel like hell, I tell you what. Where's the guy? Hurry up. Boy, but if you come out of church like, wow! You ain't got to invite nobody to your church. I'm telling you, Covenant Church, listen to me. You ain't got to invite nobody to come here. But if you just come out of the church going, whoa, how, Lord, whoa, especially if you had Zia's. Oh, Lord, they go, what happened? We just come out of church. Oh, they go, well, where you go to church at? Oh, no, no, stay at your church. No, we don't want to stay at our church. Where do you go to church? Because if you acting like that, I got to get some of what you got. What you smoking? Holy smoke. That's what we smoking. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, that's a lively stone. Instead of saying, hello, would you like to meet Jesus Christ as Lord of your life? This is Thursday night visitation. We wouldn't have come, but Pastor made us come. That's not a lively stone. That's a dead rock. In all your life, you can be nothing higher than a Christian. Why are you happy, Brother Jesse? I can't get any higher. Wanna take it higher. Feeling getting stronger. Maybe Tina was singing something here she didn't know. Hallelujah. Write this down. Christianity did not drop down from the clouds. It was a growth. Christianity, the religion, a creative energy with new ideas and new concepts of life that projected throughout the centuries. Let me say it again. Ooh. Christianity did not drop down from the clouds. Jesus came down from the cloud, but Christianity was a growth. What is Christianity? A creative energy with new ideas and new concepts of life. So powerful that they projected throughout the centuries. Still going into the future, even as I speak. So it just didn't happen. It was a growth. Yeah. See, Satan didn't know what it was. Just we have diagnosed, there's a growth that is happening here. What is this growth? This is what Peter was trying to tell the new Christians. A creative energy. Instead of always going, you're going to have new ideas new concepts of life. They'll be so powerful, they will project into the 21st century. And a Jesse Duplantis man will preach it. This power. This understanding. So Christianity did not drop down from the clouds. It was a growth. That's a religion. A creative energy with new ideas and new concepts of life that projected, oh, I love that, throughout the centuries. My words will continue after me. If you want power in life here and there and to come, speak. See, because I don't care how much God moves, nothing happens till somebody speaks. He proved that in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord God moved upon the water. Stop. Wow. What happened? Nothing. He's just moved. See, God's moving. And God said, "Ho, let there be light." See, nothing happens till you say it. And God saw the light. See, before he just saw himself moving. But when he said, light, what is light? Not the sun. That's radioactive material exploding constantly, producing heat. God released himself. He moved so much, he blew him, he projected himself into nothing. God is light. That's power. And God said, light be. Bam. And it happened. And then I want to tell you something. Things begin to come into focus. My Lord, Lord. What are you saying? We must not be content to live in the past. If you think, I done forgot what happened last month at Covenant Church. We must grow. We must progress. We must evolve. Write that down. We must not be content to live in the past. We must grow, progress, and evolve. That's what Peter's saying to these new Christians. Don't live in the past. The past never sees the future. You must grow. Do you understand? You have to grow. That's why I want this church to grow. My JDM is growing. We've got hit pretty hard here in the New Orleans area with Katrina. We took care of a lot of people whose churches were destroyed. Now some of these churches are coming back, so they're going back to their churches. We must. That's supposed to be. But there is a whole community of people around us that we must touch. There is a whole community of people around you that you must touch. That's your neighbors. I'm not talking about bothering them. I'm about letting your living stone be alive. You see what I'm saying? To bring them into this creative process. We must grow. Let me say it again. We must grow. We must progress. And we must evolve. Which means that we should grow daily instead of Sunday. I want to ask you a question. Are you talking enough about your church? Or are you talking more about yourself? I'm going to ask you that. Are you at Philippians yet? Look what it said. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, verse 6 of Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation. Are you talking more about your church? Or are you talking more about yourself? Because if you're talking about more about yourself, then you are going against Jesus' teachings. You must talk about where God has placed you. I'm not saying that because this is the church. I'm just saying what he said. Look at it. He said, verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. There will come a time when you will say, like Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. But if you want a church to grow, to progress and evolve, you've got to talk about it instead of about what you doing in it. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Because you see, it's a family. It's an entity that must be touched. Not having to, but wanting to. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's called growth. That's what Christianity does. What did these Christians do? Try to get anybody to come to their Bible studies? No. No. They were building a church. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. They were building Christianity out of Christ. That's what Peter was telling them. Then Paul came and expounded in the Pauline revelation of being in Christ, not in crisis. You see what I'm saying? Being in Christ, not crisis. So we must be content to live. We must not be content, to live in the past. We must grow, progress, and evolve. A man told me something the other day. He said, you know, I've been here for years. You're getting better and better and better. I'm growing. I'm progressing. I'm evolving. I am. But not me, Jesse. This Christianity that's growing, progressing, evolving. My God. Now, why did Jesus trust us with such powerful work? He called it spiritual sacrifices. Write this down. Jesus' sacrifice for us was made up of an unwavering love for us and an unwavering faith in us. Jesus has an unwavering love for us and an unwavering faith in us. Ooh, that's what God thinks of you. The spiritual sacrifice. Jesus said, I will die because I love them and I know they will do my Father's bidding. That's an unwavering love for us and an unwavering faith in us. Why would I even consider backsliding? Why would I even consider not being a giver? Do you understand that we are living stones? What does that mean? Living stones must be the same nature as the foundation. He's the cornerstone. You're the living stone. You're connecting. You should be the same as the foundation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We too have to represent God to men. Because Christ has represented God to us. See, it's just going over and over. But if we just come and pray and shout and worship and give, and next Sunday we come pray, we come shout, we come worship, and we give, and we never ever grow, progress, or evolve, then we are becoming what Christianity is. Well, we're becoming, how I say this, without sounding offensive, we become what they once were instead of what Jesus wants us to be. And that what they once were is not bad, but there's a better way. If you go on to New Orleans today, there's several ways you can go. You can take Ormond Boulevard to Airline Highway to 310 to I-10 to get to New Orleans. Or you can go Ormond Boulevard to Airline Highway and go straight down. Or you can go Ormond Boulevard to River Road. Go up River Road and get north. Or you can go River Road over the Luling Bridge to Luling, to Booty, to Highway 90, to the West Bank, to Ovi Huey Long, or the Crescent City Connection and get there. What's the easiest way? Now, you that live here know why the easiest way. Because as I was saying, you was tracking it. Your GPS was on. Well, the easiest way is to be a living stone and have a spiritual sacrifice. Not my will, but thine be done. I've taken the high road. That's representing God to men as Christ represented God to us. I love that. Why do you do it? An unwavering love for me and an unwavering faith in me. You see, when I think my faith's not working, I say, what do you think? He says, oh, I don't think about your faith, Jesse. I know it'll work. Have y'all ever saw me depressed? Has anybody ever said, I did? Yeah, I mean, I'm human just like anybody else. Don't misunderstand me. But I think, my God. When I think I have it hard, I think about Paul getting beat up, slapped, stomped, kicked. I said, they ain't done that to me. Thank God. When I think I've really crucified myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, I go see the Passion of the Christ and go, whoo, Lord, I didn't even come close to that. Whoo, Lord. No. When I first went into the ministry, and I'm going to close with this, you know, and I didn't know any better but to listen to people that knew enough to be dangerous, that just enjoyed my suffering. And do you learn things through suffering? Well, sure you do. But it'd be better to learn them through someone teaching you. Amen. It's like telling a child not to touch the hot stove. Why? Because you're going to get burnt. Trust me. They know what they're talking about. But the baby says, oh, yeah, they're holding back on something from here. They just don't want me to touch that. Then you get the, you touch it and wham, you're burning. And they look at you like, why did you let me do that? We tried to stop you. So in other words, instead of having to go through that, and we all have suffered, don't misunderstand me, but it'd been better if we'd have listened to others. Huh? Wouldn't it have been better? Sure it would have been. Why did Martin Luther King have to go through all that junk and lose his life for civil rights? When all you had to do is look at a man and look at a woman for who they were, a man, a woman, bless God, huh, you know, and living in America. Give me your tired, your poor, your yearning to be free, your huddled masses. Lord Jesus, we got enough speeches to last for eternity. All we had to do is just look at them. Why he had to do that? Why? I'll tell you why. It, not only was it a physical, it was a spiritual sacrifice. He actually did that for all you people that are here of the black race. Why? To pry open the eyes of the white man. It was a crying shame. Why did Jesus have to be crucified? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Why does that have to happen? When God created us with a brain and some sense. Why? Because we will not bow our will to God's. And boy, if we just listen to what God said, things will get better. Truly, truly get better. And then get beyond better to best. Do you see what I'm saying? So, you know, when I think about the great men, let me just say this here. Let me show you the greatness of Abraham Lincoln. Let me show you the greatness of a president who had people on his mind instead of his own political career. And you Congress people, put that camera on you. You're talking about President Bush's ratings. Have you seen yours lately? Yours are in the teens. We ought to fire every one of them. Start over. My Lord, if we had a vote against Congress, they wouldn't win. Because they're always thinking about a party and politicalness instead of you. Amen. Let me show you what Abraham Lincoln did. Watch this. When he got the wire that Robert E. Lee was going to surrender, everybody got excited. He immediately got on his horse or whatever and went to Richmond. He said, there will be no parades. There will be none of that. We're not going to walk in. We beat them southern guys. Those radicals, rebels. No. He stopped the whole complete show at the beginning of Richmond. Stay out here. He took two or three men with him. He walked into Richmond by himself with the two or three men. He walked into Jefferson Davis, who was then president of the Confederate States. Oh, who happened to be Democrats. Nothing against Democrats, just law to let you know. Well, I lost a few of you right there. I can tell. Watch it. They were Democrats. They wanted slavery. Republicans wanted to be free. I ain't saying Republicans are the best. Ain't none of them the best. The GOP, grand old party, you living in a dream world. You know what he did? Most presidents would have went in there. Thank God we won this civil war. He walked into Jefferson. They've told the two or three guys, he said, stay outside. And closed the door. Well, the guys outside, he was in there for quite a few minutes. Something wrong? What's he doing in there? He should be shouting. He's now occupied the Confederate presidency of the United States. He's behind his desk. So they decided to take a peek. This is history. They open up the door, and Abraham Lincoln was sitting in Jefferson Davis's chair behind his desk with his head in his hands crying that an American had lost something. He still thought of the rebels as Americans. He wasn't proud of the Civil War. Men died by the thousands. That's a holy act of love. He wanted no vengeance at all against the Confederate States because he wasn't a politician. He was a president of a nation, not of certain states. He did not rejoice in any way, shape, or form. That's one of the greatest acts ever by mankind in human history. He could have rejoiced and make a Confederate person feel bad, but he didn't. He was a binding power to bring America back together. And guess what? They killed him. He had an unwavering love for this nation and an unwavering faith in this nation. So, you can agree, disagree with policy, and I believe you have a right to, because we're Americans. But there are people dying today for other people's freedom. I don't know what America is so shocked about. Americans have always died for other people's freedom, because you know what? America stepped out when no one else would. We're feeding our enemies. Oh, we do everything right? No, we don't do everything right by no means. But we are sacrificing things that we could spend upon ourselves to you that are looking outside the world. No, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things wrong with this nation, but there's a lot of things right with it. Amen. And you know what? If we look at our black brother and our white brother and our brown brother and our yellow brother and our red brother, and we look at them as one thing, take off them adjectives and call them brothers. Amen. We'll have an unwavering love for each other and an unwavering faith for each other. That's a living stone, which means this as a Christian, I'm going to like you Baptists, I'm going to love you Catholics, I'm going to love you Baptists, Presbyterian, Episcopal, I'm going to love the Jews, I'm not going to hate the Muslims. God, if I could get me some Muslims saved, don't you think? If them people are willing to die physically, Lord, all we want them to do is come to the Harvest Fest. You don't think we could get some candy and cakes on this, baby? Do you realize that? And we wouldn't struggle. President Abraham Lincoln did that. They were shocked. They wanted a party so they can say, we beat you. We beat you. Martin Luther King did the same thing. I don't want my children judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And I may not get there with you, but you know what? I just kind of believe he did. Now, not just my opinion. I believe God just said, Martin, and was he right in everything? No. Has anybody ever been right in everything other than Jesus? No. That's not the issue. But I just, now this is just my opinion. I believe the Lord said, take a glimpse. Because they may kill the man, but they'll never kill the cause. Amen. Well, they killed him, they killed Lincoln, they killed Jesus. But Jesus came back. So Martin can come back, and so Abraham Lincoln can come back. Because Jesus is going to raise them all from the dead. Somebody shout somebody. Oh, God, hallelujah. Isn't this a good sermon? See, that's what he meant by saying, you are a living stone to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Stand to your feet. Ladies and gentlemen, I say this, and I mean this sincerely. We are here for you. We're not interested in trying to hurt you. We must control what God has given us. So we may do some things that you may not approve of. But you're not sitting where we're sitting. I love what this man, Barack Obama. That's his name? This black gentleman, they call him, he's a rock star in politics. He's a Democratic gentleman. He said something the other day that really kind of blessed me. They said, do you believe you are qualified? You might have saw that. to be president of the United States. He wanted him to run because, man, I mean, people love him, you know. Kind of like Colin Powell. They love Colin Powell. Two black men, one a Republican, the other a Democrat. But there's just something about those two men that America likes. But I like what this young man said. He said the only two men that are qualified to be president of the United States is Bill Clinton and George W. Bush. He said that. I went, I bet the Democratic Party, the shoulder blade, but click the guy. It would have been okay to say Clinton, but not Bush. Lord Jesus. Why? Because they've sat there. They've been there. They've been through some major things. And I thought, you know, I never was a Carter fan. But he can understand a lot of things. Now, I mean, I agree with a lot of his things he says. But Jesse, who was your favorite president? Ronald Reagan. You had to like Reagan. Because he was not. He went against his own wife in front of everybody. She was for abortion. He wasn't. He said, I ain't doing that. I ain't killing no baby. She said, he just doesn't get it. He said, thank God. Now, that's where the black race has got the white race beat, buddy. Because 9 out of 10 black girls ain't going to kill that baby. They'll do everything they can to feed that baby. But the other race said, well, we'll get rid of this. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And you think you know why I know why? I think I believe that. They understood the value of life. And they'll do everything to feed that baby. They're going to keep that baby. Is that amazing? You think about that. You just go study that. You'll find out that every race on this planet has some wonderful, wonderful qualities about them. But what did God call us? Living stones, the human race. That's why I'm so glad if we look across Covenant Church, we got everybody here. We are like heaven. We are. I mean, I see you. We are a pretty picture to God. Every color, nationality. There are people here on very high in financial realms and some people very low. But you know what? Everybody just treats everybody like, hey, how you doing? Hi. One of the greatest things I've heard at a fall festival was a little boy standing by me said, hey, boy, Jesse. He must have been 4. I said, you're going to ride the rides? He said, can I ride them more than once? I said, you can ride them as many times as you want. He looked at his mom. He said, can you believe it? I saw it in his eyes. Can you believe it? I can ride this ride as many times as I want. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we charge you at the spring thing for your catfish or your whatever, like other churches do? Not being critical, just being truthful. Because we just want to bless you. You sure have blessed this church all year. With your tithe and your offerings, my God, we ought to be able to get you a dinner. You believe it? That's what a person said the other day. You don't charge? No. Can you believe that? They called us evangelism. They said, how much did Jesse charge him to come? They said, well, just ask him. And I went to this church the other day and they went, I heard him say, can you believe it? He's not charging us expenses. I can't believe it. Why? I'm calling those things and be not as though they were. And one day I'll come to a church with enough money
to pay off everybody's house. Oh yeah. One day.
I believe for the impossible. I wouldn't mind starting right here. But I mean, spread it out, buddy.
One day I'm gonna have them satellites. And one day I'll be a real, real old man.
Don't you laugh. I know I look at it now, but there ain't no more white to go, but still up there.
One day I'll hear that child that was 4 years old say, "Can you believe it? He's still alive. Can you believe it?"
And he'll be telling his children, "You can ride them as much as you want." Take the person's hand next to you. Father, thank you today for this sermon. Let us be living stones that we offer up spiritual sacrifices. Oh, Jesus, that people may see you through us. That we make no reputation of ourselves, but we talk about you and who you are and what you've done. God bless these people here today. Save those that may not be saved. They repent now in their hearts. They believe. They confess. Those that are struggling financially, send blessing angels, Father, to harvest and help so that they can become the blessings they've always wanted to be. Those that are sick, God, we say in thought, and we know we will produce the manifestation of the act, that by your stripes we are healed. I thank you, Lord, for this ministry you have bestowed upon me, this church that you have founded here. Let us always be blessings, and let us be a blessing. Now lift your hands up as an act of faith. Thank you, Lord, for touching people and helping people. In Jesus' name.